Hi, welcome to the Hello Joy podcast, where we discuss life in our 20s, relationships and love, faith and self-care, and all the shower thoughts. I'm your host, Danielle Joy Robinson, and on today's episode, we will be talking about learning how to love your mind and your body as it develops with time, being surrounded by individuals who celebrate you, and the impact of healthy communication. Hey guys, it's been two or three weeks. I'm telling you, time goes by so quickly and when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Yikes. Anyway, let's not talk about the fact that I haven't uploaded, right? Let's talk about positive things. Let's stay optimistic with one another, shall we? Let's get into it. So I want to talk about growing up. Yikes. And all the things that come with it. I think at the age that I'm at right now, I'm 22 and will be 23 in February. So I got some time, but 22, I'm out of college, out of high school, out of college. I'm going back for my master's soon, which is crazy, but I'm still very much young. And me and my best friend, Ebony, from Kansas, she and I always talk about how we're 22. We always have to ground ourselves because we're such deep thinkers and we overanalyze everything. And at the end of the conversation, we're like, wait a second, we're 22. Like, why are we even focused so much on this? Why are we being so deep all the time? Like, can we just be young and excited and just live a little as opposed to trying to do everything the right way? But I know it's just because we want to succeed and we want to do well in life. We want to abide by God's, I was going to say ruling, as if it's not rules, but just abide by his word and be obedient to that. And so we always try to do things the right way, but we have to really understand that we're just living and we're all trying to figure it out at the same time. So that's been on my mind lately. And for reference, on TikTok, I've seen so many nostalgia videos from the early 2000s. So I was born in 2002. So I grew up in the early 2000s. And I keep seeing these videos and it reminds me of my childhood. And I had such a great childhood. And it not only does it make me a little bit sad, not that my current life isn't great, because it is, but it just makes me think about what was. And then it makes me think of who the person I was then, even just six years ago, you know, in high school, six, 8 years ago. How long was that? Whatever. Yeah, it just makes me think about high school and like the person that I was. And I enjoy and love the person that I am today. And I think that all the experiences and life opportunities that I went through shaped me into the person I am today, as with everyone. You know, obviously that's how life works. But I also cherish and value the person I was then too. And people so often want to diminish or devalue young people because of the fact that they're young, but don't realize that they have such valuable life experiences up until that point in their life as well. And just because there may not be quote unquote as wise as you are because you've lived longer, doesn't mean that they're not wise. Doesn't mean that they don't have great advice to give. Doesn't mean that they don't have significant and valuable things to say, you know? So I would say at my younger self, I wouldn't change a thing. I can't look back and say, I wish I would have done that differently or did that better. It's like, I did what I did to the best of my ability with the information that was provided to me and the life experiences that I had up until that point in my life. The same thing goes, I always say this, the same thing goes for when young people are in love and they say, you're so young, you don't know. Listen, I'm still young, but I have experienced different situationships, relationships, serious relationships, and different types of people, different moments in life, significant moments in life at a young age that most people probably didn't experience. And like, for example, when I was 17, I had my first boyfriend and I was turning 18, but it was like, I was, whatever. This was right before COVID shut down, and we were friends for a few years before dating. We worked together, and he went into the military. So here I am at 17 and turning 18. My boyfriend goes into the military. The lockdown happened, so I'm stuck at home. I'm a senior in high school. I had to finish my senior year of high school online. I missed prom. Well, they just didn't have prom, so I never got a prom. My boyfriend's long distance and in the military. We can't communicate because he's in basic training for 2 months. We just have to mail letters back and forth, which was such a valuable experience, you know, being able to be disconnected, I guess virtually, but being connected with letters was an extremely grounding experience, humbling experience. And it was really cool too. And I ended up leaving that relationship because of the long distance, because of our, not the long distance, but because of our lack of communication within the long distance. And I look back at that and I'm like, that, as an 18-year-old, like, that was a really hard thing for me to do, yet I did it for me. And there's nothing that I would change about that. So just because you're young doesn't mean that you are less wise or, you know, I would have done that same, I most likely would have done the same things, today that I did then. So I don't know. All of that to say is don't feel like you are underappreciated or less significant because you are young. I'm still young, and I think that I have a lot of valuable things to say. And I think that if you are feeling that pressure to measure up to something because other people have that expectation of you, or they make it seem like you're less than because the fact that you're young, I would say completely ignore them, because chances are they don't know what they're doing either, no matter how old they are. So, yeah, as I've been growing up, I'm trying to actively be intentional about learning how to love myself, because I did really enjoy who I was as a younger child growing up. And as I am at my age now, it's harder to, I think it's a lot of, so the social media influence has made me feel this way. But it's harder to love my mind and my body as it develops. And I'm in the midst of the 75 hard challenge. I'm on day 33 and it's going really well. But I was almost feeling a certain type of way about my body going into it, because I'm like, oh, this shirt doesn't fit anymore. Girl, you got that shirt 3 years ago. Like, you went through college. You had life experiences, you went through breakups, you went through makeups, you went through experiencing people for the first time, falling in love with somebody new. Like, all of those life changes are natural, and you should love yourself through them. Don't love the version of yourself that you want to be. Love the version that you are at now, so that you can get through that progress, to get through that process, to get to the person that you want to be, and love them as well. You know, love who you were, love who you are, and love who you're going to be. I think I've always loved my mind in the way that I conceptualize ideas, but when it came to my body, that's a different story. And I'm sure everyone experiences some sort of insecurity when it comes to their body, which is natural. And I had to understand that I am growing up and I'm growing into my quote unquote woman body, and my weight fluctuates, or, you know, I'll be bloated at times, or I'm going through so many hormonal changes. It's like, yes, and you are a human being, and God created you wonderfully and beautifully, and this is the cycle of life. Please enjoy it, because it's the only one you have. It's the only body you have. It's the only mind you have. So you might as well learn to love it, because if you don't, then you are going to live a miserable life. And that is, I stand on that. So I don't know if there's much advice here besides, I'm just trying to relate, and because I think that a lot of people can resonate with what I'm saying, and I don't know the exact age range of my podcast listeners. I'm sure there's some high school. I'm sure there's some high schoolers in there. I know some people in my choir who listen, as well as people my age and even people who are older. I know some people I know actually more people who are older that listen to my podcast than younger. And that goes to show you that just because you're young doesn't mean that you have invaluable things to say. So, yeah. And then another thing I want to talk about that I mentioned earlier is just being surrounded by individuals who celebrate you. Okay. Getting a little personal here, but this story just popped into my head. So I was in a relationship a couple of years ago and that I'm no longer a part of. And in this relationship, I didn't feel very celebrated. And that was difficult in the moment to not feel celebrated, but it really hurt afterwards as well, because I looked back at it and I was like, why would I even allow myself to be put in a situation or put in a position where I was romantically involved with someone who didn't celebrate me, didn't celebrate my accomplishments, and wasn't happy for me? That stunted my growth and it dimmed my light. And I told myself I would never, ever, ever be put in a position again where I have to dim my light for others to shine brighter. Ever. I won't. Because there's enough space in this world for all of us to shine. And I can't stress this enough. My friend Ebony and I talk about this all the time. We want to see each other thrive. We want to thrive together, because there's enough space and room for all of us to do so. And being an individual that is successful and you have, like, why wouldn't you want to be surrounded by people who uplift you so that you can uplift them? And we're all just in this pod of success. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to want to put other people down. If they're in your life and you're trying to put other people down, then at some point you are going to go down with them, because I'm not going to say who you are, who you hang around, but absolutely that influence of the people you surround yourself with, the things you consume, the people you consume, you know, like, absolutely you can change in that way, and maybe not for the better. So I just want to really stress and encourage you all to be intentional about the people that you're surrounding yourself with and making sure that they're uplifting. Another thing to notice is how you feel after interactions with them, just speaking to them, hanging out with them. How does your body react? Because your body never lies. That is something that I know for a fact. And while I was in this relationship, I was anxious all the time, felt like I was walking on eggshells, and to me, that was my normal. That was my normal at that point. And now I look back at it, I'm like, that was not normal. This was not safe. This was not soft. This was not healthy. And it's really hard to notice it when you're in it. But once you're out of it, it is such a blessing to be able to acknowledge and be able to move forward with people who make you feel the opposite of how that other person felt or how other life situations made you feel. So it's a really good thing to be cognizant of and how to, you know, move forward with. And then along with that, I want to talk about, since we're talking about, you know, being around people who are healthy and stuff like that, I want to talk about healthy communication and just the impact of that. So you guys know, if you don't know, now you know that I graduated with a bachelor's degree in communication studies and a minor in psychology. I'm going for my master's for marriage and family counseling, psychology of marriage and family, family of social science, stuff like that, because I want to, why am I laughing? It's funny to me because it's not funny. Nothing about this is funny. It's more of like, I'm so passionate about it that it's like, I'm excited. Like, I'm happy. I'm smiling. I'm excited about it because I want to be able to help. But I'm so passionate about mending the gap between couples, friendships, relationships, families, where the dynamic is toxic and unhealthy, where the communication is broken, where the communication is unhealthy. And I not only am I passionate about it, but I think that I'm good at it too. I think that I have the skill set to do so. And I want to be able to help as many people and families as possible. So I think for me and the experiences that I've had so far in my life, I'm so excited to have more. Like, I just love life and I'm excited to just continue to have more interactions with people. But the ones that I've had so far have really helped me to understand the difference between healthy and unhealthy communication and just how strongly impactful it can be in your life. So like I said, back to this past relationship and other ones, other friendships, honestly, too, in college, if you're communicating ineffectively, it is going to make or break your relationship or friendship with this person. Communicating isn't just speaking. And a lot of people think that that's what it is. It's not just talking. It's not just texting, FaceTiming. It's not just that. Communicating is listening. And it's listening. It's your bodily, like, gestures and cues and how you relate and how you argue, how you disagree, how you love, you know, it falls all under that category of communicating. And it's important to recognize the different types of communication styles, because if you are communicating ineffectively, that means that your communication style is different from the other person's, which is fine because we all have different ones and we should learn from one another. But it means that you're going to be misunderstanding each other, and there's going to be a gap with how you, there's going to be a gap in your understanding from both sides. So I was going to give an example, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. A lot of relationships and friendships end because of a lack of understanding, or there was a misunderstanding, you know, and it all could have been helped. Not all, you know, there's a lot of other things that go into it, but a lot of it can be solved by just communicating effectively, or like learning how to listen better, listen well. A lot of times people listen to respond as opposed to listening to understand. That's one of the biggest things I try to preach, is when you're talking to someone, if you already have something in your mind that you want to say, tuck it away before they finish speaking. You should not have a thought already in your head, or else you're not even listening to them. You're only thinking about what you want to say back, as opposed to listening to the words that they're saying to you to try to understand what they're saying. And a good practice to make sure that you're understanding each other, and it seems corny and redundant and it might seem silly at first, but I promise you it works. If you're talking to someone and they tell you something that bothers them, try to relay that information back to them and gain their confirmation before proceeding in the conversation. So what I mean by that is, if someone tells you, hey, I don't really appreciate when, you know, or I would appreciate if you, that's another thing too, and try to make the conversation less negative, using less negatives like don't and no, use more feelings and make it from your perspective as opposed to what they're doing wrong. And you can say, I appreciate when you wash the dishes before bed so that when I wake up there, we don't have to deal with cleaning the dishes in the morning. And then that other person can respond with, and it, like I said, it's silly and it's just a practice. I'm not saying do this in every conversation, but do this until it becomes natural and you can understand each other better. But that person could respond with, so what you're telling me is that you would like for me to ensure that the dishes are washed before going to bed so that when we wake up in the morning, we don't have to deal with cleaning the dishes. And the other person will say yes, or they will say no, that is not what I meant. And then they will clarify. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a way to make sure that you're on the same page throughout the conversation so that there's no misunderstandings. So that's just like one practice. But the impact of that, which I think is really significant, is the fact that you will, I'm not going to say you'll disagree less or argue less. You still have your own opinions. You're still your own person with your own thoughts and ideas. But when you do quote unquote argue or disagree, it's not going to turn into a fighting match. It's not going to turn into, well, you don't know what you're talking about because da 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 da. Like, communicating effectively, the impact of that is so significant that in the long term, your disagreements are not going to feel like arguments. They're not going to. They're going to just feel like we're communicating through this issue. And another way to feel like you're connected with that person in that moment, and this could be romantic or not, but seeing the issue as an us against the issue and not us against each other. It's not me against you. It's us against the issue, and let's tackle this issue together. Communicating can be very simple if you practice. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but like, the more you communicate with someone, the better you'll be at it. If you withhold your feelings, withhold what you have to say because you're afraid of confrontation or you're afraid of that, those are all valid things. Most people are. Most people that I know are afraid of confrontation. They're afraid of how a conversation is going to go. So they withhold things. But the more that you talk about things, the less room for misunderstanding. I promise you. And I know it's going to feel so uncomfortable in the moment. I just encourage you to make small steps towards communicating your feelings, communicating your thoughts, trying to get your point across, and also going into the conversation willing to understand, willing to change your mind, and being open and have room for other ideas to come in. We're so stuck in our ways all the time. We all grew up differently, and that's awesome. And we should be able to celebrate the differences and at the same time be open to shifting our perspective, because if we don't, we're going to stay closed-minded people and we're going to stay stagnant in our growth. We don't want that though. Ultimately, you want to grow. A lot of the times we feel offended when someone calls us out on something or expresses something that they don't like that you did or whatever it is, and we get immediately offended. And that's a natural response to, that's a natural human response to someone saying something like that, because it's to us, it's a threat. It's the same thing with animals, like, because we're, I mean, really animals, but anyway, it's like we're being threatened and we feel a certain type of way. But something that I learned in psychology is that the first level response that we feel when someone comes at our character or something like that is defensiveness. It's a tactic to try and protect ourselves from hurt, shame, guilt, anger, sadness, all of these negative emotions. And like I said, that's a first level, that's our first instinctual response as people. This is so cool to me. I don't know if this is nerdy to geek out on, but like, the underlying feeling that we have that's being masked by the defensiveness is a feeling of guilt. That's usually the feeling that we have. So back to the dishes, if your partner or your friend or your roommate says, I don't like when you leave dishes in the sink and don't clean them or wash them before going to bed, because I wake up and I have to see that and then I feel obligated to wash them. You might feel defensive right away and be like, well, I don't like when you leave your clothes on the ground, your laundry, you don't fold your stuff right away. You might say something like that, or you might say, well, I get home so late and I get so tired. And so you defend yourself, right? That is your natural instinctual response. The real feeling that you're probably feeling, you don't even realize it, that's underneath. Most people don't even realize. You're probably feeling guilty at the fact that you made them feel some type of way in the first place. The people that we love and we care about, we don't want to hurt. We don't want to see them hurt. We don't want to, and especially if they're hurt from our wrongdoing, absolutely not. We do not want to feel that. So knowing that they feel hurt, upset, irritated, annoyed by something that we caused, we feel guilt, but we don't realize that we're feeling guilt. It's being masked by anger. I'm upset that you will call me out on something like that. We're embarrassed. The real feeling is guilt. It's embarrassment. I feel embarrassed that I even got you to a point where you felt that you had to say something to me. I'm embarrassed about that. We try to protect ourselves so much from feeling those horrible, nasty feelings. But the quicker you feel it and acknowledge that you're actually feeling embarrassment and guilt, the easier it's going to be for you to have a healthy conversation and communicate effectively. Because if you jump to a defense mode, you're never going to get anywhere. Both of you are not going to, you're not going to be on the same page at all. If you acknowledge that what you're feeling isn't actually defensiveness, then you can turn that back around and be like, you know what? Like, I feel bad that you even had to say anything to me. I come home late and I'm so tired and I just don't even realize that I have dishes in the sink that should be washed. Listen, this doesn't even to be that deep. Like, just, that's not that serious, but like, truly it can irritate people. But you can be like, I didn't even realize that made you feel some type of way, and I apologize. I'm going to try to figure out a way to do better in that area so that you don't have to deal with that anymore. You know, it can be so simple, but if you're going back and forth, well, I don't like when you do this. Well, I don't like when you do this. Well, I don't come at you when your clothes are on the ground. Why are you coming at me with my dishes in the sink? That is not going to get you anywhere. You just listened to respond. You did not listen to understand, comprehend, make the change. Ultimately, though, don't we all want healthy friendships and relationships? At the end of the day, don't we all want to communicate effectively? At the end of the day, we want to grow as people better. We always preach how much we want some self-growth, but we don't actually want to do the work to do so. Like that. And I get it. Like, me too. Like, I'm not speaking like I have it all figured out, but I think that the more that I have, I don't want to say it's from the book, like it's all from a book, but like the more I've studied this truly and then lived it out in my life, I see it and it works. So I just encourage you all to make small steps and changes towards communicating effectively, because the impact can be life changing. You can go into arguments feeling like, okay, I can tackle this. I can handle this because I am not going to let my first level defense mode get in the way. Or if I do, I'm going to check myself in that moment and switch it around. Or even if you don't check yourself in the moment, come back to it later and be like, you know what? I could have handled that better. Let me go back, apologize if necessary, and then move forward more effectively. You know, it's just being more intentional and present with your feelings and the other person as well. Because communicating is not one-sided. And that is the bottom line. Yeah. Okay. That felt like a therapy session. Hopefully you got your fill for the day. But that is all that I wanted to touch on. And I also just want to give a praise report. Because I was really going through it. The last couple of weeks, like a couple of weeks ago, I would say I was going through a really difficult moment in time. And God is so good and he is so magnificent, and he makes ways out of no ways. It makes me so emotional and overwhelmed because I don't understand it. And that's good. Like, we're not supposed to understand. If we understood it, then we wouldn't need God. And I want to always need God and rely on him. But my life feels so, it feels so joyful. Like, I feel like I'm filled with joy. I enjoy the people that I have in my life. The love that I'm receiving, from people in a certain person too. The love is overwhelming and it's a good feeling. It's a love that I feel that God wants me to receive. The way that God loves us, you know, he'll implement that in other people to give to us on earth. And I absolutely believe that I'm starting to find those people who are giving me God's love, you know, as much as they can. You know, we're all imperfect human beings, but we're all trying to figure it out and we're making our way. I want to end on this one verse that I read the other day. And it's in James 1, Is it James 1? Hold on. Sorry. It's James... Okay, now I don't even know because I went away from it, but I think it's James 1, 2, and it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. I love the beginning of the verse where it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. It's so hard to feel joyful when you're going through something difficult where you don't want to feel that. Like, your body does everything you can to deny the fact that you need God. You know, we listen to a sad playlist, we drink, we drown ourselves in the sorrow, we continuously talk about our mishaps, and that is, everyone copes differently, and you should forgive yourself grace for the way that you do cope. However, knowing that you now need to rely on God to get you out of the situation is so beautiful, because that's where the relationship grows. That's where your faith grows. And the more that you rely on him and the sooner you do it, it's the same thing where, you know, the more you are faced with trials, the easier it's going to be for you to get over them, because you're going to rely on God completely. And then towards the end of the verse where it's saying, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. And if you lack wisdom, just ask. But when you ask, you must believe that it shall be done. You know, you can't doubt. It's so hard to not doubt because we're just imperfect. And, you know, we don't feel like it can be done. But the more that we have faith in God that he will get you through, man, the blessings that come after that are insane. Insane. I was in such a low place, and I feel so much more uplifted and joyful because of my reliance on God, because of my dependence on God. You can't do these things alone. And why would you want to? Why would you want to even do that? So I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed speaking about it. I always love talking about things that I'm passionate about, as well as my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my fave. And so I hope you got something out of that. And let me know if there's anything you guys want me to speak on in the upcoming weeks. I'm not going to promise that I'll get another episode out next week, but it won't be a whole month. It hasn't even been a whole month, so we're already doing well. But I hope you all have a very blessed week, and get to church tomorrow if you can. And I love you so much, and see you soon. Bye.